I'm Bart Lewis. I'm a general psychiatrist. I'm the medical director over there at Life Management Center in Northwest Florida.
And how did you get into psychiatry as a field?
Kind of a long story. I always thought this stuff was hokey. My father's a biology college professor, so I kind of grew up thinking, you know, the hard sciences were real and the other stuff was kind of hokey.
And you sound like my brother, who is a biologist.
Well, that's kind of the path. So, you know, go to medical school, thought I wanted to be a surgeon. Didn't initially go into psychiatry, although I was surprised I liked the clerkships. You know, you do 2 months of psychiatry, 3 months internal medicine, 3 months surgery, all this kind of stuff, third year. And then fourth year did an elective in it, still couldn't see myself doing it. Started out in internal medicine, did a year of internal medicine. So program I went to, you had to do a month of inpatient psychiatry as an intern. So by this time I'd done 4 months of psychiatry, and I said, well, I kind of like it. And later on in the year, I'm kind of thinking, do I really want to be an internist? And, you know, kind of bailed and switched specialties. The funny story, I was in the emergency room sitting at the desk doing something, and this hematologist-oncologist who had been one of our attendings, he was a private guy in the community, but he worked with us. And so he comes up, he goes, Bart, don't do it. I said, don't do what? He said, don't go into internal medicine. He said, it's miserable and blah, blah, blah. And said, you like do too many things and whatever. And I said, no. He said, oh, no, they're all miserable.
Oh, no.
And I said, well, yeah, but I said, you could do a fellowship and do GI. And I forgot there was some reason he said that wasn't good. I said, I even thought about doing rheumatology. He said, oh, no, all those patients are crocs, and on it goes. And he was trying to talk me into doing radiology. And I thought, well, I don't do radiology. That's too boring, sitting in a dark room. Make a lot of money, but it's boring. And I'm thinking, well, psychiatry, emergency medicine. And then kind of changed my mind, so I do psychiatry, changed residencies, went and finished up. So years later, I had moved from North Carolina to Charleston, back to North Carolina. I was going to go do a talk down in Wilmington where this guy practiced and his group. And I said, I'm going to really thank him. I said, because this has really been a good thing. I've enjoyed this and helped people, and it's interesting. They said, oh, no, he's not practicing with us anymore. Said he had an alcohol or drug problem and lost his license.
Oh, no.
So it wasn't the voice of God. It was just his own demons. But later on, he got his act straight and was helping people with addictions. But that's my long story.
Oh, my goodness. So it's funny to me that you originally thought that this was kind of hokey, because that's you know, a really common myth about psychology and psychiatry, that, you know, this isn't a real medicine, this isn't a real disease, pull yourselves up, you can get out of it.
Yeah.
So what, on the medical side, what's actually happening that proved to you that this isn't hokey?
I think seeing people with, you know, chronic and persistent mental illness on the clerkship, seeing people with schizophrenia, seeing people that are bipolar, that have bipolar disorder, or manic, this kind of thing, you're like, oh, wow, this really is what they believe, what they think, this is really their reality. And I think the other side of it is seeing that you can help people, and you see people get better and, you know, kind of get back to baseline. That's pretty cool.
So what is happening in somebody's head? Because a lot of people have no idea still. There's more awareness for mental health, but they still don't really know what's going on. So what's going on in somebody's head?
We don't know either.
We don't know either.
That's the short answer. I think, you know, people have had theories. I mean, mental illness has been around as long as people have. You know, you go back and you read ancient text. I mean, they talk about this and all this kind of thing. You go back and look at, you know, famous composers from the 1800s and this kind of thing, and you kind of surmise that a bunch of those folks had bipolar disorder and, you know, they're kind of tormented souls, but were very creative. And, you know, we've had theories that this caused that, this kind of thing, but we don't really know. The problems with, say, schizophrenia, our treatments have been directed at certain things. Treatments for schizophrenia block dopamine, one of the major neurotransmitters or messenger chemicals in the brain. So since 1953 or 54, about as long as we've had Corvettes, we've had antipsychotics, and so they block dopamine. And so our theory then develops from that. So we get the dopamine hypothesis of schizophrenia. So it must be an overactive, you know, dopamine circuit, or people have too much dopamine. It's not that they have too much dopamine. It's that these circuits, for whatever reason, are too activated. The way we tweak it is blocking it or damping it down with medication. Same thing really with depression. So we've had this, what we call the monoamine hypothesis. Monoamines are serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. So once we had antidepressants, they boosted serotonin and norepinephrine, and to a lesser degree, dopamine. So our idea has been, hey, look, we can help this by increasing the activity of the brain in these chemicals. It must be there's a chemical imbalance. And kind of starting in the 1980s, that's what everybody was told by their doctor. Oh, you know, it's not your fault, you have a chemical imbalance. Well, it's not your fault, but it's a little oversimplistic. So if we say you got a chemical imbalance, well, can you test it? No, we can't. I mean, we've looked for what we call biomarkers, biological things that would be a blood test that would say, oh, you got depression, or you have schizophrenia, you have bipolar disorder or panic disorder, whatever it would be. And we've just not found those.
It's really interesting that there's no way to test for this, because what it's kind of created, especially as mental health awareness has become more of a thing, is that people, you know, if somebody's sad, you get asked if you have depression. If somebody's on a diet, you get asked if you have an eating disorder. You've kind of seen a swing, especially with people in my generation, of like, oh, you're stressed about a test, maybe you have an anxiety disorder, of just this like pseudo-diagnosis because there isn't anything. What are you actually looking for to figure out if it's a mental illness?
You're looking at climate, not just the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, you're stressed about a test, you're worried about that, you are anxious. That doesn't mean you have an anxiety disorder. So if you're anxious and worried and tense, you know, every day or most every day, well, maybe you do have generalized anxiety disorder. But not if you're anxious and stressed about the test. Or, you know, you're bummed out because you had big plans to go to the beach and it rains. You know, we frequently say things like, oh man, I'm depressed. You know, I was going to go to the beach today. What does that mean? You have major depressive disorder? No. You know, just means you're kind of bummed out because your plans got shot.
When is it time to go see a therapist?
I think the time is, I think any time is fine. So that it's better to be proactive than to wait too long. But I think you're looking at accompanying symptoms. So if you're looking at major depressive disorder, if people have depression, it's not just that they're sad. I mean, they don't get joy from things. You know, they're miserable, they can't sleep, or they sleep too much, you know, don't eat too much. It's these other things, energy, you know, decrease, this kind of thing. So it's not just mood. It's a constellation of symptoms that go together.
So what are some of the most common myths that you hear of people saying about mental health that you're like, that's not true?
I think one of the biggest is about bipolar disorder. So bipolar disorder has been kind of the diagnosis du jour.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of blame Katy Perry and that song with the thing about love bipolar or something in it. So
hot and cold.
Yeah, exactly. So people of your generation heard that. So their impression is if somebody is wishy-washy about things, or their mood seems to change moment to moment, that's bipolar disorder, and that's not. Where bipolar disorder is an illness where you have episodes of major depressive disorder, symptoms, you have depression, you know, lasting multiple days, more like weeks and months, but at the same time have had times of, you know, elevated mood or irritable mood, not needing sleep, thoughts racing, this kind of thing, the manic or hypomanic symptoms. So maybe the big myth that I hear is people saying, oh, it's my bipolar, you know, I was real happy and it doesn't take much to make me angry. Well, that's something, but that's not that.
Okay, I have one more then. I gotta know. Have you been trying to diagnose me this whole time as a psychiatrist?
Yeah, but you gotta pay your bill before I'm gonna tell you what I thought.